Khalashing for Khalas? Want to bri or fine dine? Stay tuned to High FM on 101.9. Join Sharon Lurie and Adrian Bagatti for SN Fresen, Tuesday mornings from 11 a.m., where it's all about the food.
Well, this certainly is going to be a fun show. Heritage Day. A few days to Rosh Hashanah, and so we've actually got quite a lot to chat about, and I really want this to be quite an interactive show. I want everybody to phone in, SMS in. Let's find those wonderful numbers. Where are they? Okay, you can telegram on 061-895-1019, SMS on 34519, or studio number is 010-140-3020. So I returned on Friday morning from London for the wonderful launch of my new book. And I must say, I was just so proud to be a South African. No, not because it's Heritage Day today, that doesn't come into it, but because there's something so incredible about being in an environment where there are so many ex-South Africans, and you break into Zulu, and you break into Afrikaans, and you start talking, and the audience understand, and they grasp at every word that you say. It's just such a good feeling. Anyway, as I say, I came back on Friday, and I had two demonstrations. I had one at the Radlett Shul, where it was mostly, well, a lot of ex-South Africans, a lot of friends, a lot of English people as well. And the second was at the Emmanuel School, which I think is also in Radlett or thereabout. And I have to give a very special shout out to both these incredible, wonderful communities who pulled together to make this such a memorable and incredible experience for me. From the butcher, Steve, and his wife, Michelle of Silverman's, who donated the meat, to Haley, Debbie, Darcy, and all the wonderful ex-South Africans who came to help me, who chopped up the vegetables, who just washed the dishes, who just did everything to make it such a wonderful success. So to you ladies, if you're listening out there, or anybody, any families listening, pass on that I did thank them and gave them a shout out. And a wonderful thing, I must say, it was meeting so many old customers. I went into Silverman's on the Sunday, and so many people came up to me and chat to me and tell me how much they miss their braais and the way of life that we lead. Apparently, nobody braais from August to May in London. Okay, I can understand this. It does get a bit cold. But then I always think of my brother-in-law who sits in Atlanta, and under his sort of wooden pagoda, whatever it is, his deck, he sits there, he braais in the snow because he is such a braai man. Anyway, so braaiing, you know, doesn't go down too well as it does here, because as you all know, I love making my roasts on the braai. And so today, in honor of all those in London who are not making braais, even though the weather was so incredible, let's get our braais going, let's get our braais running, and do what all South Africans do so well. Apparently, it's a braai soos 'n Suid-Afrikaner. And it was actually amazing when I started talking at the Dem and we started talking Afrikaans, I just sort of tugged at everybody's heartstrings and prodded their yeah, you know what, we should make braais more often and whatever. But get those coals burning today and get that boerewors on, or go down to Nussbaum's. They've got the braais going. They've got everything down there getting ready for you. And enjoy your family and your friends today and have a drink. And if you're going to weddings later, so a shout out to all those. I think Sharon Gloss' daughter's getting married today. Janine Solosh's son's getting married. I mean, this is a great day for weddings, Heritage Day. So I must admit, I was on the plane and I just couldn't wait to have a boerewors braai on Sunday. As I cross back into the SA waters, I start that biltong and boerewors craving. But I must say, they do have wonderful meat in the UK. I have to admit the cows are definitely bigger than ours. Not as big as Texas, because everything in Texas is bigger and better, but I actually tried frying a beautiful piece of meat at my son's place. Within 5 minutes, the fire alarm, the smoke detector went off. I was alone. They were at work. It felt like it had been ringing for an hour. It is a piercing, piercing sound, okay, that... And all I was doing was, I phoned my son. I couldn't hear what he was saying. He said, fan the alarm with a dishcloth, and open all the windows. I couldn't open the windows. It was a nightmare. I mean, everything was hinged, pinged, and then shortly I was going to see it all singed. So anyway, nothing like sweating off a kilo, saying the Shema, and waiting for a fireman to come beating down my door with an axe. So I put on some lipstick and waited. But all jokes aside, I was praying the water wouldn't start spraying out of the ceiling. And suddenly that screaming alarm stopped, but it carried on my head, that piercing ring, which reminded me not to try and cook anything that would reach anything higher than simmering point. So although I did do a lot of cooking, I was very nervous in his apartment. So let's get started and start sharing some of the recipes I shared with my UK friends. So one of the big ones was licorice brisket. Okay, and I think I told you before that I was going to do this. It's probably been one of my most worked on pieces of meat ever. And as you can quite easily get brisket in London, they suggested I do something with brisket, which I did. So let me share this recipe with you. It's quite a simple one, but really delicious. It is 3 kilos of pickled brisket. I prefer pickled, and most of the people there preferred pickled, not raw. Because what you want to do is you want to boil it in some ginger ale. So you need 3 kilos pickled brisket, 2 liters of ginger ale, 3 to 4 tablespoons of Bisto gravy powder, 5 large onions cut in half and thinly sliced. Remember that because we're cooking it afterwards low and slow, those onions are going to disintegrate and just leave the most wonderful glaze and wonderful topping. You'll also need 3 tablespoons of oil for frying, 1 teaspoon of crushed garlic, 1 tablespoon of coffee powder dissolved in 1/2 cup of boiling water, 2 tablespoons molasses, 115 grams of tomato paste, 1 cup of water, 2 tablespoons of soft brown sugar, and 75 grams of licorice. I think, I can't remember what it's called. Lear, I think it's called licorice. 3 tablespoons of ginger syrup, 2 tablespoons of whole grain mustard, salt and crushed black pepper. And when we come back after the break, I'm going to tell you exactly how to do it.
You're listening to the SN Fresen Show on 101.9 High FM.
And now I'm going to tell you how to make it. So you wash the brisket. Remember, it's pickled. Wash the pickled brisket well to remove any saltiness from the pickling brine. And then you place the brisket into a large pot, cover with ginger ale, bring to the boil, and then allow to simmer for about an hour. So you just pour the 2 liters of ginger ale over the pickled brisket and just let it cook for about... But bring it to the boil, then let it cook for about an hour. Then you remove the meat from the pot and just allow it to cool and you discard any of the remaining ginger ale. Then to get a nice sort of brown crust. Now, I was actually really hoping that they would have something in the UK that we have here in South Africa, which really does help. And that's called Stafford's Browning Sauce. Now, whenever you make, if you make a curry and it looks a bit milky, it looks a bit pale, just put a bit of Stafford's in and it just gives it a lovely, rich color. So, but they didn't. So we used Bisto gravy powder and I fried it in a little oil until it was golden brown on both sides. Then remove the brisket and set it aside And to the same pot or the same pan, whatever you're frying the brisket in, add a little more oil and fry the onions until golden brown. And scrape off all those beautiful brown bits of meat off the bottom of the pan, because that's where all the caramelization and all the beautiful tastes are actually hiding. So, and then whilst you're frying the onions, add garlic and continue to fry for a few minutes. Okay? Then you add the rest of the ingredients and you bring it to the boil. You reduce the heat and you allow it to simmer for about 5 minutes. And then you switch off the heat. Leave it to sit for a while with the lid on to absorb all of the lovely flavors. And then you remove the licorice, as we've got all the licorice flavor that we need. Now, you can put the licorice, you can get those little, vegetable bags, or you can get a muslin cloth. You know, like you would put a bouquet garni in, you'd put all the herbs in it, tie a knot in it, and put it in to the meat. You can do that. It's much easier than trying to pick out all the little bits of licorice, because the licorice doesn't actually dissolve. So place the brisket, place the licorice into a little bag, into a muslin cloth, and just leave it in the roast, in the sauce, and just let it dissolve into the roasting, into the meat and the beautiful roast and the gravy, and then remove it. And then you place everything into a roasting pan. Remember, because we place the brisket into a roasting bag, we cover it with the sauce, we tie a knot in it, place it in a roasting pan now, and cover the meat. Still in the bag. Just cover it with tin foil and allow it to roast low and slow. So I leave mine for about 5 to 6 hours on about 160. Just low and slow. And remember that all the ingredients just go so well with one another. The coffee just brings out a certain kind of richness. The molasses brings out the flavor of the licorice as well. But, you know, 75 grams of licorice may be a little too little for you. If you want to try it, 75 first. If you found that you didn't have the licorice taste, because one or two ladies came up and they said, oh, I love licorice and I'm going to add more licorice to mine. And some said, no, I don't, you know, you do what you, this is just a hint of how to do it. And then, of course, we went on to another dish, a chicken dish, which was absolute, which was really great fun, because the girls got to taste corn kugel, and they don't get kosher cream style corn in London. So an easy way to do that is just to take 2 cups of corn and blend it with your, as they call it in London, the zhuzha. We call it the immersion blender, your blender, and just blend it with a cup of water, and that helps to get that more of a cream style consistency with the corn that you're going to, with the frozen corn. So what we did was, what I did for my recipe, and which I hope you will do, is I take one whole chicken and I cut it into portions and I leave the skin on, into about 10 portions. So your breasts will be in half. And then the sauce that we put on is 1/3 cup of sweet chili sauce. It is quite sweet, but it's Rosh Hashanah and we need to have sweetness. And by the way, the licorice brisket is actually also quite sweet as well. So we take 1/3 cup of sweet chili sauce, 1 tablespoon of ginger syrup, with a piece of glazed ginger sort of chopped in, 1/3 cup of chutney, remembering that this is just for one chicken, 2 tablespoons of apricot jam, 1/3 cup of tomato sauce, that's ketchup, 1 teaspoon Marmite, 1 teaspoon awesome onion soup or the Telma onion soup, 10 dried prunes pitted, 10 dried apricots, and 10 dried round apple rings. Okay, salt and pepper to taste. And then what you do is you combine all the sauce ingredients. So everything that I told you to do, you combine together. But just remember, the night before, or if you're going to cook it only in the afternoon, the morning before, pour boiling water over the apples, the prunes, and the apricots. It just allows them to rehydrate and puff up and makes it easier when you're making the sauce to blend it. Okay, so what I did was combined everything together. The Marmite just gives it that little bit of a spicy taste. So it's not too sweet. And the apricots just give it a little bite, a nice kick. And the apricot jam just makes it lovely and sweet. So all you do is you blend everything together and you spray your roasting pan with olive oil spray. And the roasting pan shouldn't be too big. As I always say, just like a shoe size on each side, because you don't want all the sauce to evaporate too quickly whilst you're cooking. So you place the chicken into a roasting pan and you bake it skin side down, covered for 25 minutes, remove the cover and bake for another 20 minutes. Okay. And then remember that you've got the sauce is marinated already. So you just, has been marinating with the chicken. So you just put that, you just leave it to roast with the chicken. And if you want to be really fancy and make it a little fancy schmancy for Yontif, then take some extra apples and some extra prunes and some extra apricots. And on top of each portion of chicken, place a piece of apple, a little bit of apricot, a little bit of, and a prune. I'll post the photographs on the site and then you can see how it should actually look. But it really is a lovely, sweet dish, quite an easy dish to make. And served with sweet corn kugel just goes down so well. In fact, one of the ladies asked, because what we did was we handed it out while I was explaining, you know, how to cook it. We handed it out in a little cup, a little piece of chicken with the sweet corn kugel. And some people actually thought that we'd poured the sweet corn kugel on top of the meat and cooked it while we were cooking the meat with the prunes and the apricots and everything underneath. They thought I'd poured it on top. So it was almost, you know, like a pudding with the meat underneath, which is actually quite interesting. So maybe I'll try that. So what you'll need for the sweet corn kugel is 3 eggs, 1/2 cup of non-dairy creamer, 1 teaspoon of salt, 1 tin of cream-style corn. I told you what to do if you can't get cream-style, if you're listening from another country that doesn't have cream-style corn. 1 kilo of frozen sweet corn. So remember, if you don't have cream-style, it's 2 cups of frozen corn additionally over the 1 kilo of frozen sweet corn. 3/4 cup of flour. If you have a gluten intolerance, use gluten-free flour. 1 teaspoon of baking powder. And all you do is you beat the eggs, non-dairy cream and the salt. Then you add the cream-style corn, the defrosted frozen corn, which you're not going to blitz up because you want to have that texture and you want those corn pieces in your kugel. Flour and baking powder and just mix it well. And then you bake it in a lightly greased rectangular dish in a preheated oven. I would say 170 to 180 degrees for about 35 to 40 minutes until it's lovely and golden brown on top. Okay, so after the break, we'll come back. Sorry, I misread that. No break. We've already had our break. So we are now going on to the Lekker mint glazed lamb ladders. I think I have shared this with you before, but it really is such an easy dish to make for Rosh Hashanah that I thought, let me share it again. I shared it with them in London. It was a totally different taste experience. I don't think they do much smoking, but it really was a hit. So I share it with you. You will need 4 to 6 smoked breasts of lamb. Now, ask your butcher to cut the top of the breasts off so that you have ribs shaped in a rectangular shape, hence a ladder of lamb. So it actually looks like a ladder because it's got all the little ribs, okay, and it's in a rectangular shape. And it would feed, I would say, it feeds about 2 to 3 people. There's normally about 7, 8 ribs on the lamb. Then you will need a bottle of apple jelly, the Coleman's. You may need a little more depending on the size of your ribs. A bottle of mint jelly, the Coleman's mint jelly. Also, you may need a little bit more depending on the size of your ribs. 2 teaspoons of dried crushed rosemary and a lemon cut in half. A little ground coarse pepper and fresh mint to decorate. So you wash the smoked lamb really well and you dry it with a paper towel. Don't forget from the smoking, they can be quite salty. So you really want to wash them. I wash them in warm water. And it also helps if you wash them in warm water to dissolve some of the fat, because as you know, lamb ribs are very fatty. So also cooking them this way gets rid of a lot of the fat. The fat renders out and you're left with lovely, crispy apple and jelly glazed lecker lamb ladders. So once we've washed and smoked the smoked lamb, paper dry it, as I said, combine the apple jelly, the mint jelly, and dissolve it. You can put it in the microwave to dissolve it, or in a small saucepan and just warm it through. Add the rosemary. If you like rosemary, add a little bit more. And then you place the meat into a roasting dish and you cover with the jelly mixture. It's quite sweet, but the rosemary and then the lemon juice just take it to another level. So you roast it in a preheated oven on 170 to 180, uncovered for about an hour until golden brown and sticky. You turn over halfway through the cooking process. So after half an hour, you'll turn them over. And these can just cook longer, but cover them and reduce the heat to about 150 and just let them cook and just let them get beautifully glazed and let them get all lovely and sticky. And then remove them from the oven, grind them with a little bit of black pepper when you're ready to serve them. And then you finally squeeze them with lemon juice. As I told you last time, I was given a tip by a friend of mine who said, do not put lemon juice on lamb until you're ready to serve it, because it dehydrates it. Interesting. So squeeze your lemon over your lamb and sprinkle it with lovely fresh mint. Okay, so that is a lekker lamb ladders. Now, of course, we had everybody asked for, or sort of the organizers asked for me to demonstrate the apple sorbet, which is from my second book, Celebrating, in the Rosh Hashanah section. It is so easy to make. And what we did was we served that as a palate cleanser in between the licorice brisket and the, I think it was the lamb or the chicken. We served that as a palate cleanser. So that's, or you can serve it if you want to in your array of desserts. Now, while I'm talking about array of desserts, I didn't share this in London, but this is what I'm making this week. It's a homebrew tiramisu with halva or mint crisp. Now, why I couldn't do halva there and sesame at the one, at I think the Emmanuel School, is because they are a nut-free school. So you know they can't have any nuts, any sesame, nothing like that, because it's an airborne problem. So some of the recipes we had to change. So if anybody has an allergy to sesame oil, they can use sunflower oil. Get some lovely salted sunflower seeds and just blend it up with a little bit of canola oil and leave it for a day or two. But I've read it right now. We're going to a break. And when I come back, I'm going to be chatting about the homebrew tiramisu with halva or mint crisp.
You're listening to the SN Fresen Show on 101.9 High FM.
Thank you for joining me on this wonderful Heritage Day. It's rather quiet outside, but that's good. And I'm Sharon Lurie, the Kosher Butcher's Wife, coming to you live from the studio, sharing some Rosh Hashanah recipes with you. I can't believe we're nearly there. And we were talking about homebrew tiramisu with halva or mint crisp. And as I said, in London, I made one with berries, mixed berries, a berry misu. But as I wasn't allowed to use nuts and things, but for my South African audience, here we go. Tiramisu, literally means pick me up, and I often wonder if it's the coffee and cocoa that picks me up or the weight that I pick up with every mouthful. But I love tiramisu. So whatever the pickup line, it's one of the greatest treats around. Tiramisu is traditionally made with, obviously, with mascarpone cheese and coffee dipped sponge fingers, and people really get so involved in their tiramisus, especially the Italian community. It's a very proud moment for them to serve tiramisu. However, as it's so often the case, we eat a delicious meat meal, and a slice of this coffee-infused treat would go down so well. But what about the mascarpone? So, because that is dairy. Now we have tofutti sour cream that works wonders. So this is what you will need. 1 cup of non-dairy creamer beaten until firm. I like to use Rich's. You can use whatever you want. 1 cup of soya milk non-dairy creamer. 1/2 cup of cold water. What is next on the list? Sorry, I couldn't read that. 1 by 110 grams packet of the instant vanilla parve pudding. Okay, 1 cup of the tofutti sour cream. 1 by 200 gram packet of the parve finger biscuits, the boudoir biscuits, or the lady biscuits, or the lady something I called them in London. I couldn't ever get it right. 1 lady sponges, I think. 1.5 cups of freshly brewed black coffee, or a good quality instant coffee, adding about 3 tablespoons of chocolate or coffee liqueur is another delicious option. And then you'll also need 1 cup, 250 mils of chocolate syrup. You know, you can get it in the squeezy bottles. And of course, one of my favorites, the hazelnut praline nutter, which is the parve one, and halva, which work so well together with the chocolate syrup. So it is a decadent pudding, but it's one of those puddings where, oh wow, I can't believe this is parve. Anyway, so if you have an allergy to nut, you can use crushed peppermint crisp, which is also delicious and also works very well with the chocolate syrup. Okay, so there you could get crushed peppermint crisp. I think it was the Bendix. But here we get a lovely chocolate peppermint crisp from the tree, I think the tree people or whatever they call chocolate tree, and just crush that up. It's really delicious. So you beat the cream until it's firm. Then we place soya milk and cold water into a bowl. We sprinkle vanilla pudding. If you want, I mean, you can use coconut milk if you want to, no problem. Sprinkle vanilla pudding over the liquid and beat with an electric beater until mixture starts to thicken. Then you combine the pudding and the firmly beaten cream, and continue to beat on low until well combined. Then place it in the fridge. Now you pour the coffee and optional liqueur into a flat dish, one that you can easily dip and roll the sponge fingers in. A shallow one. You don't want to leave those biscuits too long in that, in the liquid, because otherwise they just turn to mush. And also when you try and lift them up, they'll turn to mush. So you place one biscuit at a time, because it's difficult working 3 at a time. Place one biscuit at a time, roll it over, in the coffee mixture, remove it immediately, work quickly. Otherwise they will break up, and you just place the sponge fingers side by side in a single layer into a rectangular shaped dish, measuring about, what, say 14 centimeters by about 24. You can do it small, and then you can, you know, make the pudding a little thicker. Then you cover the first layer of the biscuits with some chocolate sauce. Now you can get that pourable squeezy chocolate sauce or whichever pair of sauce you like to use. Then you sprinkle over some halva, and some praline nutter. And then I like to warm my praline nata a little so that it's in the microwave, but take that tin, I think it's like a plastic sort of metal lid off. Take that off because you don't want a little fire in your oven. And I just microwave for a minute or two, and it's easier to spread when it's soft. Or at this point, if you don't want to use the praline nata or the halva, you can spread it with the chocolate sauce and the peppermint crisp. So pour half the pudding, the cream mixture, over the fingers and start the process again by dipping the other half of the finger biscuits into the remaining coffee and start placing the second layer of biscuits over the cream. You may have to make a little more coffee. Some biscuits absorb more liquid than others, but you'll see how it goes. And then you cover it with chocolate syrup again, the praline nata, the halva, or your chocolate syrup and mint crisp. And then you cover it with the cream again, and you refrigerate it overnight. And just before serving, you dust it with cocoa powder or some grated chocolate or some crushed peppermint crisp if you've gone the peppermint crisp way. And actually, almost tastes like a peppermint crisp pudding, you know, the one with the condensed milk, but not quite, but nearly. Okay, so that was our dessert that we are having for second night Yontif this year, and we go to an ad break, and I'll come back with another recipe.
You're listening to the SN Fresen Show on 101.9 High FM.
Welcome back to the Essen Fresen Show. I'm Sharon Lurie, the Kosher Butcher's Wife, and thank you for joining me on this wonderful Heritage Day. I hope you are making a wonderful braai and getting ready to spend some time with the family. So at the moment, what's trending and what's so healthy and fresh and such fun are poke bowls. I call them pokey koshi bowls, okay, for Rosh Hashanah. And what I did was I demonstrated in London. I just demonstrated. I put out a whole lot of bowls and the audience seemed to agree with me as I started talking about it. Every Rosh Hashanah, we get all busy with all these new salads, and this one doesn't eat avo, that one doesn't eat coriander, so that salad goes to waste, the other salad goes to waste. You're left with salads full of salad dressing that you can't use the next day. So what I'm doing this year is I'm getting different bowls, and get whatever kind of bowl you want, and get sort of little raised boxes. Go to the fruit shop and they'll give you some little boxes. You cover them with some material or whatever. And we are having a poke bowl display. Now, what it is there's the base to the salad, which is normally sushi rice, cooked ramen noodles, or like a spinach, or quinoa, something like that. That's normally the base. Then there's protein, okay, and that's in another bowl. So you have quite a big bowl of the sushi rice or the ramen noodles, and then you have another big bowl of the Thai beef, which is in my second book in the Hanukkah section. You can make that Thai beef, and you just make a big bowl of that. You can cut up some shredded steak. You can do chicken wrapped in butter lettuce, fried in a little bit of harissa paste, and you can put shredded biltong there. We just made a whole lot of different little poke bowls. And then in smaller bowls, you put some fresh asparagus, some avocados, some baby tomatoes, bean sprouts, broccoli, carrots, celery, shredded Chinese cabbage, corn, baby, frozen, chopped up coriander, cucumbers. You know, get tiny little cucumbers, slice them up. You can even do some dates, one of the simanim for Rosh Hashanah. You can put edamame beans out, boiled eggs, mushrooms, peppers, pineapple, snap peas, spring onions, everything. And then they can choose whatever they want from there. Then you have toppings such as crispy fried onion rings. You can buy those at the store. Some shredded potato chips, fried vegetable chips, toasted pine nuts, pickled ginger, toasted sesame seeds, toasted coconut even, dry ramen noodles, cashew nuts, and just have all these little bowls out. Everybody can help themselves. Nobody can say, I don't eat this, I don't eat that. And then what we did was we put out four different salad dressings. I put out a Thai salad dressing. I put up Boba's Secret salad dressing. I put out another one, a ranch dressing, a pair of ranch dressing, which I have shared with you before. I'll put it up again. And everybody can make their own. And it's such fun. And it's such a novelty idea to do over Rosh Hashanah. And then all you do is just take some Glad wrap and just cover your little bowls or put them back into Ziplocs and take them out the next night. Or make a big salad from whatever left over for lunch the next day. Great fun. So I certainly enjoyed that, my little koshy pokey salad display. Of course, we did the malawach salad, which is the one that's, you know, baked in the malawach pastry, which went down very well. And we had a great time. So I think I've basically given you most of the recipes so that you can try and relax and get ready before Yontif. So now I hope you get ready early, sooner rather than later, and don't look like, as I said to them in London, don't look like you, like the chip paint in a playground on your nails and hair looking like their prime minister, that you'll be ready for Yontif and ready for that first guest. I always laugh and say the first guest that arrives looking like she stepped out of Vogue, smelling of Dolce & Gabbana's new perfume called What Can I Do to Help You? Anyway, on that light note, I thank you for joining me and I hope you have a good, sweet year and that you, everything that you wish for yourselves and your family and more, much, much more. Have a wonderful Yontif and I'll be back with you soon.